you are just joining us, we are in the middle of a series on Galatians. We've been walking through the book of Galatians, kind of a little bit of breakneck speed, and maybe you've been reading along at home, but this is a book of the Bible that we have been studying and asking ourselves this question, right? What is the thing that we are trapped to? Or what has trapped us? And how do we find freedom through Jesus? Because many of us grew up in traditions where they may not have said this, but the feeling was if we didn't do everything right, if we didn't cross every I, if we didn't dot every I, cross every T, then we aren't good enough to be accepted by Jesus, right? In a faith of legalism, leads to a life where instead of Jesus being at the center, right, that legalistic mindset of religion is. We talked about this idea of religiosity. And are we a people that is a religious people? Or are we a people that is free by the atoning work of Jesus Christ? I had a conversation this week with a group of other pastors and ministry leaders. And the discussion we were talking about was this idea of humility. And the idea of humility for us as followers of Jesus means that if we are humble, then Jesus is at the center. But any moment that we lean over into pride, instead of Jesus being at the center, what we do is put ourselves in the center. And that's a razor thin line. It's easy to go, hey, look how much we served. And we go from humility to pride. And the key to keeping humility at the center of our lives is making sure that Jesus is at the center as soon as we become the center, Jesus is not. Or as soon as we put something else in the center, like religiosity or tradition, or that sin that we can't get away from, or the trauma or the pain that we've experienced, all of a sudden when those things are at the center, instead of finding that freedom in Jesus, we can find ourselves spending more and more time focusing on those things and being trapped. When if we humbly keep Jesus at the center, instead of looking at the religiosity of the world, instead of looking at the things that trap us, we can find the freedom in Jesus. If you have your Bibles, open to Galatians chapter 4. And remember, Paul's writing this letter to a church in modern-day Turkey, and the church is made up of Jews and Gentiles, and there's this really big tension going on whether the Gentile believers of Jesus have to follow the same rules and the whole that the Jewish believers followed. And the whole point of the letter is Paul saying, no, 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 Jesus has to be at the center. We find freedom in Jesus. It's not about the law. It's about Jesus. It's not about the things that held us back. It's about Jesus. And this is what he says starting in verse 8 of Galatians chapter 4. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. It's an interesting verse. It says, when you didn't know God, when you didn't know Jesus, you were actually enslaved to things of the world, things that are not gods. That means that we, when we don't know Jesus, we're living a life enslaved to things that are meaningless, that have no power. We're trapped in things that are powerless. But now, Paul says, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. I love that distinction, right? We're known by God. Some of you walked in here today like knowing who God is, but you need to hear this. You are known by God. He knows who you are. And you matter to him. How can you turn back again to weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? It's this idea, hey, you found freedom. Why would you go back to being enslaved? It is when you found God, you found freedom from those powerless things that trapped you. So now once you have found God, why would you walk into a life purposely where you are going to be trapped again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. This is really, really harsh words by Paul. And if you've been reading, like, he doesn't pull his punches in Galatians, right? He gets a little nicer. Like, he kind of is mean at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. Then kind of gets nicer at the end. Like, all Galatians, he's like, nah, don't. You guys are fools. I pity you fools. Those of you who are younger in here, that's a reference to Mr. T. Watch the A-Team, watch Rocky III. It's a great place to start with Mr. T. Love it when a plan comes together. He's calling them fools. He tells them they're foolish. Because here is people who have found freedom in Jesus who are choosing to walk back into the slavery of the powerlessness of the world. But here's the key to this, right? Is I'm not different than the Galatians. Because even though I have been freed from the things of anxiety and fear in this world, sometimes I still go back to those things. And I use those fears and those anxieties as a really twisted, dark comfort blanket. And I get trapped in that. And the question I've been asking you to wrestle with is, what are the things that trap you? What are those things that you go back to even though you've been freed from? Because here's what we find is that each and every one of us responds to freedom, right? There's something that we do in response to freedom, but there's also something we do in response to being trapped. We're going to talk about that today, these different actions that flow out of either our freedom or our enslavement. Because here's the bottom line. This is what I really want you to grasp today. When we are growing in our relationship with God, it will be evident in how we live our lives. So if we have Jesus at the center and we are living our lives as freed followers of Jesus, it is going to be evident. There are actions that are going to follow it. Because it is what is at the center of our lives, and we can't help but live out a life that shows everyone else Jesus. That's the point. That's where we're going. You got it? All right. Flip on down just a little bit to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. I'm not sure I have the right passage up here on this one. Nope, not yet. Okay, so I don't have the first passage. That's okay. We'll get there. This is what it says in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will have no advantage to you." And again, when we're talking about circumcision, we're talking about the tradition, the law, the custom, not the biology. And what he's saying is, if you accept a legalistic religiosity style of life, then the freedom of Christ has no merit for you. If you're going to choose to be trapped, what does freedom mean? You can choose to be free at this point. You've been set free, but if you're choosing to walk back into slavery, what's the point? Verse 3, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. So if you're going to live by the law, you have to live by the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Do you hear that? You've been severed from Christ. You are choosing. What he's telling them is, you guys are choosing this old system. You are choosing to live in bondage to this. And when doing so, you are severing yourself from the body of Christ to choose something that entraps you and that you could never keep all the rules of anyway. Why would you choose this? You have fallen away from grace. How many people in here want to be fallen away from grace? Put my hand down real quick. Shocking. Look around. There's no one raising their hands. That's the point. That's ridiculous. His words are strong, but it's to show how ridiculous it is for them to live with trapped in religiosity instead of finding freedom in Jesus. And their lives show the byproduct of this. Look at this. "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything." Your customs don't mean anything in Jesus. But here's what it says, right? "But only faith working through love." The religiosity doesn't matter if you don't have that faith. Or working through love. Again, our freedom in Jesus doesn't come by what we do. It comes by who we have faith in. But it's easy to make the mistake, and I've kind of been alluding to this the entire time we've been in this series, is that what we do does matter, right? It's easy to read this and go, well, it doesn't matter what we do as long as we have faith in Jesus. That's not what he's saying either. That's not what he's saying at all. Skip on down, and I want to show you where, right? Skip on down to verse 13. This is what it says. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're looking like, hey, that doesn't look like one word, the word there kind of also means phrase. So you're good if you're starting to count, like that's a lot more than one word, right? It's fulfilled in one word or one phrase. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out. You are not consumed by one another. I don't know if Paul was writing this to 2020 and 2021, but man, I felt it these last couple years. I don't think I'm alone in that. Consume one another because love isn't our focus. Here's the point, right? You are called to freedom with a purpose. You are called to freedom with a purpose. Ignore the terrible typo on that. With a purpose, right? You are called to freedom with a purpose. Your freedom isn't passive. Your freedom isn't just for you to hold and cherish. You're supposed to do something with it. Right? Paul says, right? We're to love one another. That's active. That's not passive. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad with it, and let us get to work. Let's do something. We don't just sit and dwell in our freedom. We put it, we take it, we receive it, and we go. A lot of people can look at this book, and a lot of people have, even in lots of different places, and use this idea of faith and freedom in Jesus kind of as their get out of jail free card. Right? We see these t-shirts, right? I'm a Christian, but I cuss a little. Like, and it's kind of funny, but at the same time, it's kind of not. Because that's using that get out of jail free card. It's using your faith as kind of, well, oh, well, I mess up, but that's okay because I love Jesus. That's like saying, oh, I love my wife, and maybe I step out on her just a couple times, but it's okay because I really love her. Oh, foolish Galatians. When we live our life with faith as our get out of jail free card, we are not living in freedom. We are still trapped to something else. Paul refers to it as the flesh in this chapter. Right? It's the things that trap us. It's the things that snare us. It's the things that we are enslaved to. So we don't get a get out of jail free card, right? Faith isn't fire insurance, right? It's not just, oh, I believe in Jesus, so I don't burn in hell, right? It's active, it's alive, it transforms us, and then something happens. Our actions align to our faith because freedom in Christ leads to action in life. I'm going to show you where. The next section we're going to read about is the fruit of the Spirit. And maybe you grew up in a church like I did, where you had fun songs. Anybody else fun fruit of the Spirit songs? Can't be a ping cherry, that's what we sang. Can't be fruit of the Spirit, because the fruits are love, joy, peace, and patience. Anybody? Just up here singing? Cool, we hired a guy to do that, so I'm going to stop now. It's interesting because when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, often we read the fruit of the Spirit as attributes we should strive to achieve. And we think, hey, this is a great list. We should work really hard to do all the things that are on this list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Like, these are things we should really strive for as Christians. But often I think that's actually, not often, but I actually think totality, that is a misunderstanding of what Paul is saying. He's not saying, hey, these are the things you should strive for. To understand the fruit of the Spirit, you first have to understand that fruit is a byproduct of a seed that has been planted. If I want to grow apples in my yard, you know what I'm going to do? This isn't a trick question. Plant an apple seed, but they actually have to be special apple seeds because just not any old apple seed will grow an apple tree. You have to have the right type of seed. If I want to grow an avocado tree, you know what I have to do? Plant an avocado pit. Which is easier said than done. It takes forever. I don't know if you've ever done like the cool experiment where you like peel it and you put it in the toothpicks and you put it in water. Like maybe by the time you are dead, you can have an avocado. It's easier just to go to King Supers and get them. Right, but if I want to cultivate fruit, I have to plant either the right types of trees or I have to plant the right types of seeds. I can't go to a pine tree in my backyard and go, I would like some cherries, please. And I can't go and work all day on this pine tree or these trees in my yard and go, if I just work hard enough, they'll give me cherries. You know why? They're not cherry trees. They're pine trees. What they're going to give me is sadness during pollen season and sap all over my car, right? That's what they do. No matter how hard we work, right? So the point is that the fruit of the Spirit aren't things that we strive to achieve. They're a byproduct of something. And to understand this, what Paul first does is he kind of talks about the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. This is what it says. Look at this in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, right? That right there is the solution. If you have your actual Bibles, underline it, circle it, highlight it. If you don't, write it down on a piece of paper, take a picture of it, right? That is a solution. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit and you will live in freedom, not enslaved. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. It's pretty black and white. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now that works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's interesting because before we get this list of fruits of the Spirit, we get this other list. I call these the fruits of the flesh. These are byproducts of a life that is focused on the flesh. And we can look at this list, right? And easily dismiss things. Well, it says orgies and sorcery on there. Like, that's not me, so none of this stuff applies, right? Let me simplify the list for you because really what's on this list is sexual sin, idolatry, sorcery, so, you know, I would say that really doesn't apply, but man, they're living in some dark days. Enmity and strife. Jealousy. Fits of anger. Rivalries. Dissension and division. Envy. Man, I think that hits most of us at some level. You envious of anyone? That's a byproduct of the flesh. Drunkenness. These are byproducts of the flesh. These are byproducts of a life that is trapped. These are fruits of the flesh. When we live enslaved, when we live not with Jesus at the center, but instead with those sins at the center, or the things that trap us, or our hurt, or our wounds. I mean, jealousy's on here. And you ever been jealous of somebody? That is not a byproduct of God in you. That is a byproduct of a life before you knew God. So here's my question in all of this. If you look at this list and see one or more of these things in your life, they are indicators that you are living a life according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit. And so if you look at this list and go, bam, 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 that's like a lot of me, then here's my challenge to you. Your life, if these are the center points of your life, is not a life that is in line with the Spirit of God. And that may be harsh, but Paul wrote a whole letter to the Galatians who struggled with the same thing, so you're in the right place. If those are the things that you struggle with, hear me when I say you need freedom. But hear me when I also say at some point, all of us struggle with one or usually way more than one of the things on this list. You're not alone. We're all in this together. And at some point, we all need to find freedom, which is why I've asked each of you to be praying about what are the things that are trapping you? What do you need freedom from? You see, the fruit of the flesh should indicate that we need freedom from flesh to walk in the Spirit. Again, none of us want to be enslaved. None of us want to be trapped. We want to be free in Jesus, right? Yes? Come on. I brag about you guys all the time. First service. Let me get you. Yes? All right. Man, guys. We're going to have a conversation. That's a family meeting, okay? But then you have something else. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We let those things die. And if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Again, this section started out with Paul saying that we are to love one another. And if you look at this list, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit are not a list of things to strive for. God is what we strive for. Hear me, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, all of those things, right? That should not be our goal. God should be our goal. But when we achieve that goal, that is the byproduct. That's the fruit that grows off of a life that is following and dedicated to Jesus and the freedom that he brings. You want those attributes in your life? There's a real simple way to do it. Follow Jesus. Keep him at the center. Cultivate a life that is in a growing relationship with God. If you go, I don't know how to do that, I would love to introduce you to our discipleship director and our discipleship classes who help us grow in that. We call it D3. We're starting a brand new one in January. Hope we're good with that, right? Starting a brand new one in January. And if you want to grow, I would love to invite you and show you some very basic steps on how to grow in that. You want freedom? Let's find freedom. You want to have a life that produces the fruit of the Spirit? Let's grow in our relationship with God. So if you need to do that, sign up. Find me. Find Josh after service. We'll get you plugged in. But if you want more of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you need to cultivate a deeper relationship with God. That's how you get it. Because here's the deal. If the fruit themselves are your goals, you're going to be frustrated because you're not going to achieve them to the level that you want. But that's not the goal. That's the byproduct of the goal. That's the seed that we plant. To produce the fruit of the Spirit, we have to cultivate the Spirit in our lives. That's it. The harder part of this is we've got to let that flesh, those things that trap us, die in their passions with them. That's a lot easier said than done. So my question is the same. What's trapping you? Because here's the deal. If you let that fruit be the fruit that defines you, it's bad fruit. A few years ago, I was on a trip and I was in Thailand, and one of my favorite things about being in Thailand was all the different fruit they have. And they have like star fruit and mangut and lots of words that I can't even explain, and the best mangoes in the world. By the way, if you ever eat a banana in Thailand, it'll make our banana seem watered down. Like, it's just so flavorful and it's so delicious. And I loved the fruit, except the day I ate bad fruit. And I remember they even warned me, like, hey, like, I'm not sure you should eat this or you shouldn't eat too much of this. But here's the deal, I loved the fruit. And I just kept eating it. I would skip like meals just to eat more fruit there. And I ate bad fruit. And the byproduct of the bad fruit literally left me retching. Throwing up. By the way, you never want to be throwing up in a foreign country. That's not a good sign. And I was sick for a few days. It sidelined me from what I really wanted to do. Here's the deal. Bad fruit, when it's in your life, will sideline you from what you want to do or what you desire. You need good fruit. And the only way to have that fruit in your spiritual life is for Jesus to be at the center and to cultivate a deeper relationship with God. And the result, the byproduct, is love. The byproduct is joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness. Self-control. We talked earlier about this idea of being a church that loves out of our generosity. What if we were loving out of each and every one of these things as a church to our community? What type of impact do you think we could make? I think it would be significant. But here's where it starts. You've got to ask yourself, what are the things that are trapping you? And if any of the things on that fruit of the flesh list, if any of those things rang true for you, it's time to give those up. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. All right, we do this sometimes. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And here's what I want to do for you this morning. I want to pray for you. So here's my question. It's a bold question. If any of the things on that list, sexual sins, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, or drunkenness, if any of those things pricked your heart, and that's you, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you today. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Guys, my hand's up on this one. I see you. Father, this morning I come to you. God, I lay my envy, I lay my jealousy before you. I don't want those things to define me. For each and every one of the men and women who raised their hand, Lord, I pray that they can lay those desires of the flesh at the foot of the cross and let them die with their passions. I pray you help them walk in freedom from those things so that they can cultivate a deeper relationship with God and grow in what it means to be men and women who have the fruit of the Spirit as byproducts in their lives. Lord, help us strive for that deeper relationship. We pray that the world sees those things in us, not because of what we do, because of what you have done for us. And let us find freedom from those things that are trapping us. So we give those to you. We lay them at the foot of the cross. We ask you to take them and take with them their desires and passions and let our desires to the flesh die. Scripture says that the flesh is at odds with the Spirit, and we pray that the Spirit within us be overwhelmingly abundant and the things of the flesh be gone. I ask you to bless us this morning. It is in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.